Blog Talk Radio.
Getting up and dancing. All right. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Frank Stanisha. You're listening to the Candid, Frank, and Lively Show, CFL Edition. We've been here all week. We've been here for almost 10 days, and nobody, I mean nobody, and did I say nobody, figured out that Candid, Frank, and Lively is CFL. That's right. That's what we've been talking about all along. We fooled you into thinking we're talking about other sports, but our world consists of only the Canadian Football League. But we will, I promise, talk about other sports. But for now, we're talking CFL news. A local designer says a U.S. design firm has been tapped by the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group to create the logo for the city's new CFL team. The name, the Rough Riders, it's not gone yet, guys. It could still be the name of the team. And as far as I'm concerned, it should be the name of the team. And for the people who say there are two Rough Rider teams in the league, you're wrong. There's only one Rough Riders team. The other team is the Rough Riders. Two words, Rough Riders. One word, Rough Riders. So it's okay. But if those don't work for you, there's always the black and red. Hello? There's the black and red. The heck is that? The black and red. Holy mackerel. Then, of course, there are names that we've heard before. The Renegades, the Voyageurs, the Rush. Not bad. Now on to the Montreal Alouettes. We'll work our way from the east to the west and then open up the phone lines for you to call in and voice your respected opinion. And we promise we won't hang up on you unless it's necessary. The Alouettes may be the next Montreal sports team to be looking for a bilingual coach. Was Tressman bilingual? Okay, he was a winner, but he wasn't bilingual. Or, as I would like to put it, a bilingual problem. Now, Quebec is one of the fastest growing in the last 10-15 years. The Quebecers have produced more football players than they ever have. The Quebecers love the game of football. The question really is, can they afford to hire based only on language rather than coaching prowess? Now, they did last time they got a coach. They got a coach that knew what he was doing. And this dude was a stud. He is now coaching for the Chicago Bears. And slowly but surely, the Montreal staff appears to be running behind him to Chicago, which is bad news for the Montreal fans, but good news for the rest of the East. Now, the candidates to replace Mark Trestman will be headed to Florida to gather some sunshine and, of course, be involved in interviews as the CFL team announced. And those interviews will take place with owner Bob Wettenhall, who said in a statement, the criteria for the new coach is to strive for a winning team, to be involved in the community, and to work at, and I like this word, institutionalizing the franchise in Montreal. Now, depending on how well the team plays, the fans may be the ones who may need to be institutionalized, because they're really, as far as coaching's going, the Montreal fans have got something to worry about. But then again, Wettenhall has done it right before. There's no reason why he can't do it right again. Let's just hope that the candidates that they, or the candidate, I should say, that they end up hiring does a good job. And some of those candidates are Danny Machocha, who was a GM and a coach for the Eskimos, and he happens to be coaching right now at Laval University. There's also, Coach Glenn Constantine, who's at Laval, and, of course, the BC Lions offensive coordinator, Jacques Chapdelaine. Now, sports betting website Bodog has Machocha and Constantine listed as the co-favorites to take the job at 2-1. Former Winnipeg coach Paul LaPolice, who is not bilingual, is next at 5-2. Now, former Alouettes receiver is the long shot, Ben Cahoon. I don't know, John, is he the guy we should bet on? Could we make some money on this one? I don't know, but I'll tell you something. It's going to be an interesting season for the Montreal Alouettes. Following up a sad season like Tressman did is a lot easier than following up Tressman, if you follow what I'm saying. Now, the Toronto Argonauts announced that they released Ronald Flemons, who, of course, in his seven seasons with the club, was a fan favorite. He originally came here in 2006 to Toronto, where we're doing this show. Actually, I'm doing the show in Mississauga, not in Toronto, but anyway. He joined the Argos until he was traded with Kerry Joseph to the Rough Riders. And that's one word, Rough Riders. The Texas A&M grad Flemons originally joined the Boatmen as a free agent, missed only one game due to the trade to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, along with, of course, Kerry Joseph. And he came back to the Argos, and he was here this past year, of course, winning the Grey Cup with the Toronto Argonauts. Well, we wish him well. Now, here's a quote from the manager, and the general manager said, and I quote him, "Don't be surprised if he doesn't come back, or if he does. It's not written in stone. He could turn up again as a Toronto Argonaut." Now, the crosstown rivals, or the rivals up to QEW, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, today announced that they have signed, that was yesterday actually, import defensive back James Patrick, the 5'11", 180-pound native of Tuskegee, Alabama. I love saying that name. Tuskegee, Alabama. I want to say it again. Tuskegee, Alabama, joins the Ticats after recording 227 defensive tackles, 18 interceptions, and 5 fumble recoveries in 86 games over 5 seasons with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who in fact released him on January 22nd. Patrick enjoyed his best season in 2010 when he was named CFL All-Star and the Rough Riders' most outstanding defensive player after leading the league with 9 interceptions. Now, as a former All-Star, James is a proven player in the CFL and will welcome addition to the secondary, said Vice President of Football Operations, General Manager, Head Coach, and Chief Bottle Washer for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Kent Austin. Next, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Oh, gosh, this team, they were so... If you're a Bomber fan, you have to be, probably last year was one of the most frustrating years that you could have as a fan of a football team. They were so up and down, up and down. Unfortunately, finished down, and also that meant that they didn't make the playoffs in the East. The large concern for the Bombers last season was a disappointment for Glenn January. Now, he just recently had his contract extended. The offensive lineman is coming back with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and promises his line will do better at keeping their quarterback healthy. Now, the O-line had difficulty finding a rhythm, in fairness to the O-line, with the cast of quarterbacks, whether it's their fault about not protecting the quarterback or not. They had a merry-go-round there for quarterbacks, and as you know, January, and anybody who's following the Winnipeg Blue Bombers knows that it was a weakness. Now, they didn't keep Buck Pierce healthy. He missed 11 games, not that many, more than half the games of the season he missed with a foot injury, a concussion, and finally a shoulder problem, which kept him out the rest of the season. Now, obviously, he says, and I'm talking about January, we did not do a good job of protecting Buck last year. It comes as no surprise, Winnipeg Blue Bombers also would not allow their all-star defensive back, Jonathan Hefny, to enter the free agent market. After all, the 27-year-old is coming off a 2012 season in which he once again produced solid numbers. In fact, almost identical numbers to his 2011 campaign. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers re-signed all-star import defensive back Jonathan Hefny a month before he was slated to become a free agent. Now, good for the Rough Riders. They made a deal. They ended up with, I tell you, Rider pride is overflowing due to the move to bring George Cortez as the offensive coordinator for the Green Riders. Even when head coach Corey Chamblin was hired, there wasn't this kind of excitement. Cortez's history of success in Winnipeg, Calgary, and Hamilton raises the Green Nation's hopes at a critical time. After all, the Grey Cup will be played this coming year, 2013, the 101st Grey Cup in Regina, Saskatchewan. God, I want to be there. That's going to be fun. The best sports fans in the world, I'm telling you. These guys are awesome. I had a chance to meet many of you, at the Grey Cup. You guys were awesome. I really am impressed with Rider pride. It really is true. Now, the Rider fans know Cortez as the Riders' offensive line coach in 2006 when he had a coffee there, but what they cannot forget is his four Grey Cup championships as offensive coordinator of the rival Calgary Stampeders. He was a Rider killer. Now, the chatter on every platform, I'm telling you, it must be, the Rider fans will have to tell us, it must be incredible, the chatter that's going on with all the talk on all the talk shows, the radio shows, the TV sportscasts, that this guy's with the team and they're all excited about it. And it couldn't happen at a better time. Obviously, this year they're going to host the Grey Cup, and it'd be great for them to be three-peaters for hometown wins. As you remember, 2 years ago, the BC Lions won in British Columbia, and Toronto Argonauts this past year won inside the Sky Dome in Toronto, and of course the Green Riders are trying to make it three in a row. Now, quarterback Darian Durant is in his fifth year with Regina and has played well in the past, but Cortez hopes that he can help him become a better player in the future. And we all know the future is now. Cortez has had a talent to work with other quarterbacks like Henry Burris. While he was in Hamilton, before he was let go, Burris put up some outstanding numbers. Unfortunately, there wasn't a defense there to show the offensive power of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. That's a problem Hamilton will be working on. So best of luck to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It would be really a treat to watch them make it to the Grey Cup. The Edmonton Eskimos. The Eskimos announced the naming of two key members of their 2013 coaching staff. Veteran CFL coaches Greg Marshall and Doug Sams joined the Eskimo organization as defensive and offensive coordinators, respectively. Now, one of the top defensive strategists in the Canadian game, Marshall returns to the Eskimos, where he spent five seasons as a defensive coach from 2000 to 2004. Marshall, who played 10 seasons as a defensive lineman, has 22 years experience as a defensive coach, including 18 in the CFL. He has led strong defensive units through two division championships, two Grey Cup appearances, and, of course, the 2003 Eskimo Grey Cup win. Coach Reed said, Greg is a veteran coach with a wealth of experience that will enable our young and talented defensive players to continue to grow. Sams, of course, is entering his 35th season as a coach and is in his 16th as an offensive coach. Last season, he was the quarterback coach for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who led the league in scoring offense. And Sams oversaw then career-high seasons for legendary quarterbacks such as Damon Allen, who was named the Eastern Division All-Star team for the first time in his career. Sams' first stint with the Eskimos was with the 1987 Grey Cup Championship team as special teams coordinator and defensive line coach. Doug was tremendous in his experience in developing young quarterbacks. He is a proven signal caller with vast experience in the CFL and, of course, the NCAA, says Coach Reed. Now, Ed Hervey didn't waste any time and also added that they've released Stephen Giles. Now, remember, this is the young buck that the Argos sent, and that's, wow. Maybe won't rub it in, won't mention a quarterback that came back other than the fact that he held a Grey Cup. Oh, they are hoping to find a quarterback somewhere in the free agent market. Ricky Rays aren't easy to find, and they're not easy to replace. Fortunately, it's possible to pick up a player like that. They hope they can. There's guys like Matt Nichols, Kerry Joseph out there, Mike Riley. I mean, there's a few people that they can pick up. But Hervey promises he's not letting the cat out of the bag, but he did provide some sort of indications to which direction he would be steering his cart towards. As long as he doesn't run over the quarterback. Wait, that was Winnipeg that had the problem with keeping quarterbacks healthy. We have an opportunity to find a new quarterback, and we wanted to establish room on the roster for that individual. Moving on to the Calgary Stampeders, head coach and general manager John Huffnagel announced Thursday that import receiver Markay McDaniel has signed a contract extension as per team policy. Okay. Terms of the agreement were not disclosed. McDaniel played 14 regular season games for the Calgary Stampeders in 2012 and was second on the team with 744 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. He made 53 catches on the season and also had 2 carries for 15 yards, 12 punt returns for 130 yards, 1 kickoff return for 18 yards, and 1 missed field goal return for 31 yards. The 28-year-old Virginia Beach, Virginia product played in all 3 postseason games for the Stamps in 2012 and had 12 receptions and 220 yards and 1 touchdown. His score was 68-yard catching run in the opening minute of the Stamps' 34-29 win over the BC Lions in the West Division Final. So they're very happy to get him back. And, of course, the Calgary Stampeders are actually 9-2 favorites to win the Grey Cup. And that was figured out right after they lost to the Toronto Argonauts. Now, the story of the – well, this might end up being the story of the year. Now, we didn't mention it with Saskatchewan because I wanted to save the best for last. Now, G. Roy Simon, do I have to tell anybody the kind of talent this man has? Do I have to tell anybody how an incredible slotback he is? This guy's going after Ben Cahoon's record. This guy holds records where other people aren't even close to him. He's done a marvelous job. He's had a wonderful career. And then he was given an opportunity to be traded. Now, why was he given the opportunity to be traded? Because he was not going to end up being in the scheme that the BC Lions will be operating this year. He was going to be not the go-to guy. And his pride and honesty, and I saw the press conference, and he was not too happy, but you know, he was sold on the idea that he still has a career in front of him. He's not on the downside. He can still be G. Roy Simon, and he can still be at the top of his game. And the fun part of this, as I said before, he has gone to the Saskatchewan Roughriders, whom are hosting the Grey Cup, the 101st Grey Cup, and they're trying to three-peat. So this would be a great way for them to perform the three-peat. Now, in other sports, we'll take just a little bit of time, some stuff that's caught my eye that I'd like to share with you. Okay, the story in the NFL, it's the 47th Super Bowl. The story in Major League Baseball, Jays haven't made any moves. Canada's team hasn't done anything this week. What the heck? Come on, season's right around the corner. Can't they make another blockbuster trade? No, I guess not. And, of course, the lacrosse, the Rock won last night. Now, in hockey today, the Leafs lost, but that isn't news. It's too bad. Hopefully they can work things out for the Toronto hockey fans, the Chicago Cubs of the NHL. Nazem Kadri is playing well for the Leafs, and he credits the coach. But I think he's the only guy that's playing well. Now you got Subban, a young player. He's what? Just over 2 years of experience playing in the National Hockey League. And he's sitting out after a lockout that saw him sit out for quite a while. Now he's sitting out in a contract dispute with the Montreal Canadiens. This fan favorite will be putting a lot of pressure on, of course, the Montreal Canadiens and, of course, management to sign him. On one of the dubious, I've got a list of dubious things to talk about here. And when I say dubious, Evander Kane, anybody see he's carved out his initials, YMCMB, on his head? And it represents young money, cash money, billionaires. This is the same kid, and I refer to him as a kid because he's a young guy, 21 years old. held a block of money to his head and pretended it was a phone while in Vegas. And Don Cherry, apparently yesterday, was in the Twitterverse defending this young player for performing this kind of behavior. And I don't know, Don, I think you're the guy that loves to show how they come into the arena wearing suits and ties, and they're just so, and they're proper, and you're defending this kind of behavior. I don't know. I don't know if that's very intelligent behavior. Now, even worse, but a younger kid, 17 years old, in the Premier League in England, decided to lie down on the ball and not let Eden Hazard, or they call him Eden Hazard, to play the ball and attempt the throw-in, as he's legally allowed to do. They're playing against Swansea, and the ball boy laid on top of the ball, and then Hazard gave him a bit of a kick. It didn't look that strong. But what I'll say is this. The kid did what he did wasn't right. The part that bothers me is that his family owns the team or something. Like I said, dubious stuff. And here's another dubious one. Here's a in baseball. Now, Canada's team is going to have the Yankees come and visit. The Yankees have dropped their salary. My goodness. Like, it's dropped like a rock, while the Jays has risen like a hot air balloon with too much air in it, too much hot air, in fact. And now those two teams are going to meet, and we know that the Jays and A-Rod don't like each other, and it looks like A-Rod won't be a part of the, well, the dismembering of the New York Yankees, and, of course, the lack of success they may show this year. I mean, it's really going to be a miracle for them to do that well. So that's what we have for you today. My co-host is waiting. If he didn't fall asleep, I'll push the button and bring John Granger in, and we'll ask him about the odds in as far as who's going to win the Grey Cup next year. John, how's it going, buddy?
Not too bad, Frank. You're going to ask me what my odds are on the Grey Cup? Are you kidding me? That's way, way too far for me to talk about.
You can't put out an early line?
Don't want to put out an early line. It wouldn't be fair. I want to see how these teams play out, who's going to be where, and more or less, I'm looking at probably looking at who might take it this year realistically by the numbers and so forth, maybe after the first exhibition game. That's when I kind of get a flavor of it. Right now, if you took a shot at it, you know, you'd be guessing. And I know it's all really guessing, but you can narrow it down if you just wait it out and see where all these players go.
So this year, I think more than any year in recent memory, the East Division's up for grabs.
Well, maybe as a biased guy like you would say, but not me. I'm saying we're taking it again. Repeat.
Who said I'm unbiased? Not my wife.
Well, the fact that you would ask me that question, I'm gonna guess you are, okay? But I have no doubt who's gonna win, Frank. I have no doubt.
Okay, so Montreal's your pick?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Montreal's my pick. Okay, not.
You can say it out loud. You know, you're not gonna get strung up, and you know, they're not coming after you with fire, buddy. So you think the Argos?
I'm not worried about it. Look, everybody knows who I got in winning it next year. It's always the double blue every year. You know, what kind of an Argo fan would I be if I didn't say that? Come on, give me a break. Even the Ticats think they're going to win, right?
Absolutely. And they might.
Okay. You got to get every team has look. Every team before the season starts has hope. Okay. And that's what's great about this league is that, you know, you could be in last place 1 year, and the next year, look, you take the cup. So I love this league, and I love the way things can just change every single year. That's what's so exciting about it.
You know, it is exciting, and all kidding aside, many believe that the Argos, like yourself, believe that they're developing into a powerhouse. That could very well be true. I believe that in the East, Hamilton is rebuilding, retooling, and they're doing it, I think,
as part of the plan in as far as they're not, they don't have their home stadium yet. They want to definitely make sure that they have a really good team when they come to the Pan American Stadium, which I don't know as yet if it's been named or anything. I know it hasn't been built. Last I heard, of course, Iverwind Stadium still had some pieces still standing. I haven't heard any recent reports on the status of the stadium, but they definitely won't be playing there next year. They're playing in Guelph. So I don't know if they're going to be a threat. Winnipeg is, with Buck Pierce healthy, they were awesome, you know. And even the lack of experience at quarterback, the team has carried a decent throwing quarterback and done a good job of, making them a winner. But they were inconsistent this year. And needless to say, Montreal's rebuilding. At least I don't know if it's out of the gate the way they have in past years. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. As far as the other teams go, I'm giving Hamilton a lot more hope than I think maybe the rest of the league would. If the quarterback didn't throw a few of those interceptions, we'd be talking a different game here for Hamilton. I think Winnipeg has their biggest concerns. I think we all know that quarterbacking is the most important thing in the CFL as far as getting a team going. And Montreal, yeah, they do have the quarterback there, but it's too much of a change up there with the coaching and some new players that are coming in. I mean, AC is aging. You know, he's always going to come out and play. But I can see Toronto, Hamilton, Montreal, Winnipeg laying out as the 1-2-3-4 in the East. The West, I'm leaving it out in the open. I still can't put my finger on it, but don't be surprised if Hamilton has a better season than a lot of people think they will.
Well, I hope they do. I hope all the teams have a good season. Now, there's a lot of CFL players out there waiting for February 15th. We'll get to that in a second. Why don't we go to the West and discuss the West? As I said, after the end of the Grey Cup and the Argos winning, they're pretty well, the stadium still had people in it, and the odds on favorite were the Calgary too. I don't know why, other than they have a great team. Their number one quarterback was hurt. You've got Edmonton that's in rebuilding mode. I think the real favorite has to be, we can get onto the subject I know you've been dying to talk about. G. Roy Simon has made the switch. He's taken his slot back skills to Saskatchewan in an interesting move that he permitted based on the fact that he still thinks he can be a primary receiver. What do you think of that move to Saskatchewan by G. Roy Simon?
Well, if you want to underline it as interesting move, the only interest in that was money. And otherwise, he would still be in BC. And you really don't want to deflate a guy's ego by offering him half of what you can afford to pay him. I think it's all about cap. Simon, still a great player. The numbers say it every year for this guy. But, it's a shame. Well, it isn't a shame. It's part of the deal. We have a cap, and he had to go. It came down to money. I think that was probably the reason why Bruce also left. Parker also left. It's coming down to money. So I think he's going to – I mean, Saskatchewan Rider fans should be really happy. He's not going to be a negative for the team. He's going to be a big positive, a plus. And, with them hosting the Grey Cup this year, I could see why – they were willing to kind of put out the money for this guy. So good for him. I like it for him personally. For BC fans, not so good.
I'm picking Saskatchewan as the favorite. I believe they're going to be motivated to put a team together because the show's going to be in their hometown. And so the East is going to be, as you say, I think Hamilton can be a surprise. And, in a one-game matchup, anything can happen, John.
Frank, I got Calgary. I like Calgary. Tate is a threat. I think, to me, he's probably the best quarterback that I see on the field. This guy can really do it. I mean, it's the injury-prone thing right now is looking bad, but it's because he's such a hard-nosed player. that, you know, these kind of quarterbacks, if they're going to go for the run rather than stay in the pocket, they're going to get hurt. But that guy is really, really good. I mean, I like that guy a lot. So I can see why, you know, the odds makers had Calgary out there as the front runners to win it again on the odds. But I just see Calgary as a strong candidate to be coming back. I mean, you know, wouldn't it be a kind of a weird Grey Cup if it was Calgary and Toronto
again? Well, it may very well be. Well, that signals the end of our show. We hope for those of you that are watching it in repeat mode, we'll make it sometime when it's being originally aired. We'll be changing our schedule to reflect a one-hour program, which will be starting at 10:30. So for those of you that have seen the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday schedule that's at 11, it'll change to 10:30 to 11:30. John, thank you for sitting in here as my co-host. And, of course,
thanks, Frank.
Our big
I want to give a shout-out.
Go ahead.
Frank, before you go, I want to give a shout-out to all the Argo Lifers out there and to all our listeners. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate everybody who listens to us, and we're just going to make this thing even better.
Yep, with your help and with Jamie Wolodarski's, we will make it better. The team will be back on the air again tomorrow, and that'll be at, we're going to do our new time tomorrow, 10:30 to 11:30. Hope to hear from you then. For now, this is the Candid Frank and Lively Show, the CF of L show on Blog Talk Radio. Hope to see you around the other side. Thanks for tuning in.